He is backed up to the Red Sea, and if he ever needed to hear God answer him, it is right here and right now. And he cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, help us, save us. And immediately the Lord answered him. He heard it, he understood it, faith came, and he did exactly what God told him to do.
Amen.
And it produced a victory, not just saving his life, but saving 3 million people's lives. God will speak to you the same way he spoke to Moses, quickly and clearly. I don't know where we got to. We believe, and I've even heard faith ministers say this, that God won't answer you immediately. There's a whole process of trying to figure out what he's saying, and you might have to wait on answers from him, and you might have to, you know, but what if you need an answer right now?
Amen.
God is speaking. The sower sows the word. Us not hearing isn't a problem that is his problem. It's our being able to hear him problem. God never talked to me. God's been talking to you ever since you were born. Now, you being able to hear that is a totally different subject. In order to hear him, you need to develop your spirit, ears that hear and eyes that see. So we understand that Moses, the Lord said to him, why are you crying out to me? Hold your rod out over the water. Now, what did that look like to everybody that was standing around? It looked like nothing happened, right? The exchange. I don't know if Moses used his inside voice. Lord, help me. What are we going to do here? And then God answered him with his inside voice, God's spirit to his spirit. And you see Moses go like this. And then you see Moses go like this. What happened?
Yeah.
God just saved everyone's life because one man knew how to hear his voice. The Bible is a collection of stories that show us what is possible for our lives as well. You can have a relationship with God and hear his voice and get immediate answers to questions that you have that you need answers to right now, the same way Moses did. A lot of times we teach faith like it's this glorious state of not knowing what to do, but then whatever happens will automatically be what God wanted to happen, and we'll just be okay. That is not faith.
That's right.
That is not what I see here. God has been dealing with me to teach people to know him. And it's the same as teaching people faith. Teach my people to know me. Because there's battles that they could be winning, but they're losing. If they only knew how to hear my voice, if they only knew how to pick up my victory instructions, if they only knew how to tap into me speaking to them so I can get through to them what they're supposed to do. But so many times when we pray, we don't even expect to hear an answer. We go into the throne of grace to find help in a time of need, but we leave without an answer. Because you haven't been trained that immediate answers are available from the throne of grace. Don't leave your prayer time without an answer. Are you guys okay?
Amen.
5 or 10 minutes?
Amen. Take your time.
I went back on my word. Somebody needs to hear this. Thank you, Lord. Daniel 11:32, it says, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. The people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. We could read that backwards, and it's kind of a bummer, but you need to hear it. Sometimes you need a little smack. So you're telling me that people who know God will be strong and do great things on earth. Yes, that's what Daniel said. So that also means, if we turn it around, that people who don't know God won't be strong and they won't do great things on earth. Would you agree with that, flipping it? The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The Amplified says, but people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and stand firm and do exploits for God. The TLB says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do great things. Great things. God is very interested in you knowing Him for the purpose of winning every battle in your life. Every battle. Do you about know every battle? Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people perish because they are not able to hear my voice. What do you mean? His spirit to your spirit. You're not able to pick up Him talking to you in a time of need, where you need it right now, but you're listening with this ear, you're sending out mental waves, but you have never been trained to go down into your heart and pick up your messages there, because that's where God leads messages. That's where He's going to text you. That's where He's going to call you. That's where He's going to tell you how to win this thing. And it was in Moses' heart that God said, hold out your rod. And he heard it, and he picked it up. And what did it look like to everyone standing there? It looked like nothing happened physically, and it looked like nothing happened mentally. But if you look inside, in the spirit, God's spirit spoke to Moses' spirit. Moses' spirit picked it up. Because God said it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that word, spoken word of God, the rhema word of God. He believed it. And because he believed it, he went,
yes.
Nothing mental happened. It was not a physical exchange. It was not a mental exchange. It was God's spirit to Moses' spirit, but the victory manifested in the physical realm. This is how God will show you how to win for the rest of your life. Not knowing Him here at this level can cost you victories here on earth and rewards in heaven. Not being able to hear Him can cost you answered prayers. Not being able to hear Him down here will cost you not being able to pick up your victory plans. And not hearing Him down here can cost you your future reward in heaven. Because what? When you stand before Him, He might say, did you know that I called you to go be a missionary in Samoa? No, I never heard that. It can cost you victories. It can cost you rewards. There is a connection between faith in God and fellowship with God. Remember the story of the young servant? He was there with Elisha, and they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And the young servant, who had basically no relationship with God, scared to death. Oh, master, alas, how shall we do? I'm going to paraphrase that. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're not going to do good. Look how many there are of them. Look how many there are of us. 1, 2. I can count it on one hand. Oh, master, look at this. This does not look good in the natural. This does not look good physically. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Based on what he was receiving from God, which was nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Based on what he was seeing from God, which was nothing. Were the angels already in the mountains? Were the chariots already in position? Were the armies of the Lord already there to wrought this great victory?
Yes.
Yeah, but see, just because you can't see or pick that up in your spirit does not mean that God has not always been there for you. What do? I need to develop spiritually where I can see him and hear. So Elisha says, Lord, let him see at the level that I'm seeing. Open his eyes and show him what I'm able to see in the spirit. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he could see exactly what the prophet could see. Now, the prophet's at a totally different level of faith. Why? His fellowship with God, what he's able to see in the Spirit, what he's able to understand. So we've got one guy, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. We've got another guy, the battle's already won. We got this. And then he commanded the whole army to be blind. And then he led them to the city of Samaria. And then they fed him and let him go. What's the difference in these two guys? One knew God at such a higher level and was able to see things at such a higher level. The other person was not able to see anything from his spirit, from God. No faith. But the other one that knew God, the people that know their God, shall be strong and they will do great things, great exploits, great miracles. Fellowship with God is a huge determining factor in your faith level. So two different levels of faith. One, no faith. One, great faith. What's the difference? Two different levels of fellowship, what they're able to see in the Spirit. So fellowship is the fountain that faith flows from. I saw it. God showed it to me. I believe it. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance or the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to your senses, your physical senses, but it is revealed to your spiritual senses. You are not operating blind when God tells you something.
Yes, that's right.
It is not a state of, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what to do. As soon as Moses heard, hold your rod out over the water, was he operating blind when he went, was it, I'm just going to try this, I'm just going to pull this out of a hat, I'm just going to think this up and hold this rod over the water and maybe something else? Is that what happened there? No, God said, do this. He's not blind. He's not trying something. He is fully persuaded. He is perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed. And when he held that rod out over the water, it split the waters. See, faith is not really blind. And as we started, I said, a lot of people think faith is this glorified condition of, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's going to do. Moses knew what to do. Joshua, the battle of Jericho. Before the battle, God came to Joshua and told him exactly what to do. Details, take these men, march around, how many times, how many days, when to blow the trumpets, when to shout, And he said, I've given you this city. The battle is mine. Jericho is yours. And there's the wall still standing. Did he explain exactly to Joshua how to win the battle? Did he get a victory plan before the battle? So when Joshua and the men headed out towards those walls, were they going, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're doing. We're not really sure. We haven't heard anything from God. Well, just whatever happens, happens. No, they knew exactly what to do. And they knew exactly what was going to happen. This is the condition that Hebrews 11:1 talks about. Perceiving as fact what is not yet revealed to the physical senses. So faith came after God told them what to do, right? Before? No. Faith comes by hearing. Faith came after God told them what to do. Faith came for Moses after God told him to hold the rod out. What about David from Ziklag to Zion? Remember that story? They went out, they won this great battle, they got home, and all their wives and all their children and all their stuff is gone. Now he's a man just like you, just like me. He went to God and said, oh God, oh God, oh God. They wanted to kill him. Oh God, oh God, oh God. And he went, he talked to God right now. And God answered him right now.
Yes, he did.
Do you think God will answer your prayers? Do you think God will give you immediate solutions? Why haven't we been trained this way? Bible examples show you exactly what belongs to you. God will talk to you the same way he talked to Moses. God will talk to you the same way he talked to Joshua. God will talk to you and answer your prayers the same way and at the same speed. He answered David's prayer the same day. Get up. Go up at once. Chase after them. Recover all. Faith came after God told him what to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God. In my own personal life, I've had situations where I do not know the answer, and I cannot know the answer to something. I need God to talk to me right now. And, well, I guess we were talking to Pastor, and 12 years ago we were here. I don't know if Kelly was here or not. Kelly was here, and I think this is the last church that he actually went to. My first husband, Kelly, passed away 10 years ago, and it was a horrible thing. Don't really want to talk about that, but the day or the night that he died, I remember laying on my floor of the bedroom with my face in the carpet, thinking to myself, I've just lost everything. And if I ever needed God to talk to me, I needed him to talk to me right now.
Yeah.
I needed to hear something that would cause me to get up and keep going and not give up and not give in, but to get up and keep going. And let me tell you this process, because it was an interesting thing. I was laying there on the ground crying, so exhausted. I kept hearing in my spirit, it was me, quoting that verse, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? That kept going around and around and around inside my heart. But I was still laying on the ground crying. Understand? Maybe you've been there. You've been laying there crying, you still got this Bible verse, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. And you're fighting the good fight of faith. As I was laying there, suddenly, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard not a scripture that I had memorized going around and around and around on the inside of me. I heard God speak from his spirit to my spirit. I heard God say, "You are winning. Get up." And in the moments before I was laying there on the ground crying, I had a Bible verse going around. I believe in Bible verses going around. I believe in saying, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" I believe in confession. I believe in doing what Brother Hagin taught us to do. But when he talked to me personally, that tipped the balance of my faith, and I believed that I'm winning and that life is still out there. And I'm not going down, I'm staying up. And I stood up just moments, hours after his death, this exchange. I stood up, I said, "I'm winning." And if it hadn't been for me being able to hear those five words at that point in my life, if I hadn't developed my spirit to a place where I even knew that he would speak to me on the inside. He's my comforter. He's my counselor. He's my strengthener. He's my standby, the advocate. All that list, the seven things that the paraclete is, it's for communication, guys. It's for him to be able to talk you up out of something like that. It's for him to be able to show you what to do next. It's for him to be able to encourage you, to teach you. What good is a comforter that you never hear? What good is a counselor that you can't hear his words? What good is a helper that you can't discern what he's trying to say to you? Develop your spirits. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Read the Bible. So David received immediate answers. But a lot of times when we pray, it's like, "Lord, I need help. They just stole my wife and kids." That's crickets. You have crickets up here? You have mosquitoes up here?
Oh, yeah.
I heard you got mosquitoes. So maybe it's a summer night. Here in Minnesota, 10,000 lakes, and you're out, and you got a huge problem, and you're by the lake, and you say, "God, help me." That's all you hear. The sound of the mosquitoes and people slapping them. That's what I was trained, that you can pray, but you'll never hear an answer. But faith is just believing whatever happens is what God wants to happen. That is not faith. When you call on him, Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer you." What, when it's too late? No, now. "And show you great and mighty things which you know not." Don't leave your prayer times without answers. Don't leave your prayer times thinking, "I prayed, it's okay." No, get your answer. Get your victory plan. Get your next step. Get your what to do. Expect to hear things from him. Another time we had a serious issue with the ship. The ship was in Vanuatu. And they called, I was here in America at the time, and they said the starboard engine is seized. We don't know what it is, and it's bad. And it is bad. And so with our intellect and with our educations, we began to systematically tear apart, is it the starter? Is it the compressor? Is it this? Is it the compressor? Is it this? And then finally 3 weeks has gone by while we're trying to figure it out with our intellect. Do you know that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. He will answer you. God does not work in mysterious ways. I'm sorry, I'm going to just kick that cow If God worked in mysterious ways, nobody would know what to do. Nobody would know how to work for him. Nobody would know how to preach a message. Nobody would know. God is so mysterious. Oh, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. God is seeable. He is hearable. Not physical and mental. He is seeable and hearable on a spirit-to-spirit level. He is available to you all the time. He is not mysterious. I've been reading over in... Remind me of this story. We're on the starboard engine. I've been reading Mark 4, the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. The sower sows the word. I always thought the sower was a preacher man. Well, it can be a preacher man, but the sower is God. God is talking. God is speaking. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the answers. The sower's telling you how to do things, how to win, how to live, how to make it better. And there's four kinds of ground. And only one kind of ground gets what God is saying, if they can hear what God is saying. How you treat God when he's speaking to you will determine getting your harvests or not getting your harvests. Everything that God says to you is a harvestable miracle for the physical realm. Everything he speaks to you is a harvestable, I mean, it can be provision, it can be an answer, it can be knowing what to do, it can be a battle plan. In this case, I need to know what to do with my ship. Also, that whole chapter goes on to talk about, is a candle lit to be put under a bushel? Now, I've been reading this chapter, the candle is God. Did God come into the world so no one could see him? Is a candle lit to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And it says this, and I always thought this meant our sins would be revealed. It says there is nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Still talking about God. And there's nothing that's a secret that won't come out. There's nothing God will hide from you. There's no answer. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4. You guys, I felt you put the brakes on in your hearts. How many of you have been trained? Let me read this. Mark 4:21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? What are we talking about? This is the parables of Jesus. He's talking about how the kingdom of God functions. He just gave us the parable of the sower, and he interpreted the parable of the sower. And he said this, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand anything about the kingdom of God. Understand what? God is trying to talk to you. And the way you treat God when he talks to you will determine all your harvests on this planet, beginning with salvation and going on to greater and greater things. Harvests for yourselves, but harvests for others. Still talking about God and the kingdom of heaven. He says this, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? What's the answer? No. Do you light a candle so no one can see it? Did Jesus become the light of the world so no one could understand him? No one could communicate with him? No, he was so mysterious, so mysterious. Just never know. That's not what the Bible says. It was a candle lit to be hidden. No. A candle is lit for everyone to see, everyone to understand, everyone to know. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. What are we taught? Now this is what you were taught. This is what I was taught. all the sins that you ever did in your life, someday the Lord is going to tell everyone what you did, and that's nothing that you've hidden personally about all the nasty stuff you've done that will not come out in front of everyone. Aren't you excited about that? Were you trained that this is what this means? No? Well, praise God. I was. This is when God is going to publicly humiliate you, and everything that you've ever hidden about your life will come out here. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. But if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. There's nothing hidden about God that he won't show you. And there's nothing that maybe we didn't know in the past. Remember, the main thing that happened at his crucifixion is that the veil between the Holy of Holies and us ripped in two. There's nothing hidden about God that he will not show you. There is nothing that was secret that will not be told you. God's not going to keep secrets from you. When he could tell you how to win, he will not watch you go down in flames. If there's something that he can do, is there something that he can tell you to win, to come up, to stand up, to stay up, to go over? He's not going to hide anything from you. He's not going to keep anything from you. He will declare it to you. The sower sows the word. God will speak to you. God will show you what to do. Thank you, Lord. So faith is not blind. So there I was, 3 weeks into this, and we know as the starboard engine is seized up, it's getting worse and worse. The longer that thing doesn't work, the more money it's going to be to fix. So finally, I was there at my little kitchen desk, and instead of leaning on my own understanding, which I'd been doing for 3 weeks, really good at that, I said, Lord, what's wrong with my ship? True life story. Lord, what's wrong with the engine? What is wrong with the engine? I hadn't asked him before. I hadn't acknowledged him in this. I had not asked at all. And just like that, he said, there's water in your engine. And I heard it. What did that look like? If James was standing over at the toaster and I was there at my little desk, what did that look like? It looked like this. It looked like nothing was happening physically. It looked like nothing. But on the inside, God's Spirit spoke to my spirit and solved a major issue for me. So the guys in Vanuatu were still sleeping. I sent a text, an email, because I'm a nice lady. I don't want to wake them up. I said, when you get out of school tomorrow, go and open that engine up. There's water in the engine. I put all my poker chips in that I heard God, and I'm not a crazy lady, right? You know how you can be cool, like, maybe, possibly, it could be an issue with water in the engine. No, I went right out and I said, God told me there's water in the engine. And now if you're wrong, you're crazy, right? You need to keep practicing the presence of the Lord. School finished. Guys came home, took the lid off the engine, got down into the pistons, full of water. Full of rust. Totally ruined. Faith came. The other thing that happened, God said, there's water in your engine. It will be okay. It's going to take a little bit, but I'll lead you out of this, and the money will be there. It took us a year to get that engine up and running. We limped around with one engine. Ding, 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 ding. You know, whatever it takes, right? But it cost $30,000 That's a poke in the eye, guys, right? It cost $30,000. Some of it was my own personal money. Didn't take pay, just pay for the parts, pay for the parts, pay for the labor, pay for the labor. Finally, the labor bill came in, and that was the big one. The parts were $10,000, the labor was $20,000 U.S., and they gave us a 50% discount. Welcome to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you can find a mechanic. Oh, my goodness. You know, this has nothing, maybe nothing to do with... We were flying on American Airlines, and we got one of those little American Airlines Advantage cards, and you can rack up your miles. And it had a list of, you know, to fly within the United States, it's 12,000 miles. Woohoo! And to fly to Alaska and Hawaii, it's 25,000 miles. And to fly to Europe, it's 30,000 miles. And to fly to the South Pacific, it's 40,000 miles. There it is. Very expensive to get there, very expensive to go there, to stay there, to do anything there. But this thing is unstoppable. Unstoppable. Thank you, Lord. So all these men cried out to the Lord. And did they hear? Lord, help me. What's that? That's cricket. That's nothing. That's no answer. That's no response. Many Christians believe this is normal and this is how prayer works. That you pray, you don't get an answer, and faith is just believing that somehow you're still going to be okay. That's not what happened in the Bible examples. When they prayed, God answered immediately and did great things. A sea was split. Walls fell into the earth. Families were received back. Plus, they got all the other people's junk.
That's right.
God hears and God answers. Moses saved himself and 3 million others because he could hear God's voice. Abraham became the father of many nations, and it was his bloodline that was Christ himself, born on the planet to save us all. Aren't you glad he believed? He received Isaac, and the next generation believed? Something about those Jews, they believed that the Messiah would be born through them, and there was no stopping them. Aren't you glad? David saved his wife, but not just his family, saved all the other men's families, wives, children. God wants to use you at greater and greater and greater levels. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll close with this, Habakkuk 2:1. I will take my position and be on watch, placing myself on my tower, looking out to see what he, God, will say to me, and what answer he will give to my prayer. Verse 2, and the Lord gave me an answer and said, put the vision in writing and make it clear on stone so that the reader may go quickly. Never underestimate getting up before the sun rises. A lot of people say, Pastor, how can I get faith? Like it's something you can buy off a store and then just use for one-time uses. Faith comes by developing a living relationship with God and never disconnecting your spirit from His spirit. I'll say that again. Faith comes by having a living relationship with God here on this planet and never disconnecting your spirit from His spirit. So how were you able to hear there's water in your engines? Well, every day I get up at 5 o'clock, whether I need to or not, and I haven't been so great at this lately. in America. But I set my alarm for 5. And I'm not a morning person. But I spend the first 2 hours of every day, I get my tea, I get my donut, whatever it takes to stay awake, right? Throw the body a donut, throw the body a tea. And I read my Bible. And while I read my Bible, I expect him to speak to me while I'm reading my Bible. Because it's not just a storybook for entertainment. It is a living word. And while I read Mark, he says, I'm the sower. I'm the sower. The way people treat me when I speak to them will determine all their harvest they'll ever have on earth. I'm the sower. Where'd you hear that? I heard God say that in my heart while I was studying. Never underestimate getting up before the sun rises, sitting in a chair with your coffee, reading your Bible, listening on the inside, praying in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, it's the best thing that ever happened to me since ice cream. It changed everything in my life. Praying in the Holy Spirit, listening on the inside, drawing near to Him every morning. As you step out your door with the written word on the inside of you and the living word on the inside of you, His presence on the inside of you, the same way you hear Him in this 2 hours that you set aside is the same way you hear Him on the road when He says, don't turn right, go straight. And you avoid a major fatal accident. The same way you hear Him when you get up every morning is the same way you'll hear Him all throughout the day. Amen. And it'll become so normal to hear the voice of God. The same way you hear Him in your quiet time is the same way you will hear Him in the middle of a battle or when you face a battle. The victory answer is going to come to your spirit from His Spirit. And you can be fluent. That word fluent. God speaking to you, you being able to hear Him and not being weird. There's one thing I don't like is weird Christians, so don't be weird with this. Everyone's like, oh, praise God, she's not weird. No, I'm not weird. I believe that God will speak to us and use us to win battles for ourselves, but to win battles for those around us. That's called ministry. Thank you, Lord. One more thing. I just want to draw your attention to Jesus. He is the major pattern for how we conduct our lives. In His first day of ministry in Mark chapter 1, He went in, He taught a message that no one had ever heard at that level before. They were astonished at His doctrine. They said, where is He getting this stuff from? How is He able to produce a message like this? Who's teaching Him? What school is He going to? And there was that. In the same meeting, there was a demon-possessed man that cried out. And Jesus delivered the man in front of everyone, basically said, shut up and come out of him. And the demon obeyed the human instead of the human obeying the demon. Do you understand what's going on? They think it's normal for humans to be possessed and oppressed, but we have a human being just spoke at a level we've never heard a human speak at this level, and then now he's controlling evil spirits. We're not used to that. We're used to evil spirits controlling us and being helpless, but this guy commands the evil spirits and they obey him. Day's not over. Goes for lunch at Peter's house. Mother-in-law's there, sick in bed. Fever. He rebukes the fever, and the fever obeys him, leaves. This is first day of ministry, Mark chapter 1. That night, the entire town comes to the door, and everyone that's sick was healed. And everyone that demon possessed was delivered. Wouldn't it be great if there were more people on the planet that could operate at this level of ministry? Next verses. And in the morning, rising up a great while before dawn, he went out and talked to God. While it was still dark, Jesus got up and spent time with God. So we can conclude that that message that no one had ever heard before at that level came from him spending time with God. And the power and authority that he had over that demon, that the demon obeyed him, came from him spending time with God. And that authority over sickness and disease, where he rebuked the fever, and sickness and disease did what he said to it, go, and it obeyed him. How's all that happening? And then the whole town coming, and every single person being healed or delivered. All that happened because this getting up in the morning and spending time with God and hearing messages from God and receiving assignments from God and knowing God. And Jesus got to the place where he said in John 5:19, I tell you, I can't do anything by myself. I can only do what I see the Father showing me to do. And whatever I see the Father doing is what I do. And the Father is going to show me even greater things that you may marvel. So it's no real big mystery as we look at the ministry of Jesus. And so many of us today want to emulate and be like Christ. Well, it's time to get started. Amen. And if we want to be Christians, let's be Christians. All the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders were happening because of his relationship with God. I encourage you, church, make it your number one priority. The people who know their God shall be strong, and not just strong for you, strong for others. And they'll do great things, and not just great things for ourselves. We'll start to affect the planet unilaterally on a mass level where thousands start to come in and healings occur. And I mean, it's coming. Who's it gonna, the people who know their God, the people who can hear his voice, the people that can hear victory instructions, the people that can hear, go to the pool of Bethesda, that guy right there, ask him if he's going to be healed, tell him to pick up his bed and walk. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to go some extra time. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that the words that you just said to them, I know it's such a concentrated dose, that you would cause this knowing you and hearing you and knowing how to win and knowing what to do and being led by your Spirit at this level to become a reality where people really know him. And they're moved by him, and there's no hesitation, and there's no doubt, and we can react immediately when you tell us to do something. Father, we want this. We want this. I want this, Lord. I want to train people like this. Thank you, Lord. If you would open your eyes and look at me, I want you to know something about ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are placed in the body of Christ, not to train really other ministries, although it's a part of it. But a pastor is placed in the body to train you to become like Christ. Not a little bit like Christ, but exactly like Christ. There's a gift on their lives to take you to the place where Let me put it this way. Jesus trained 12 men to become just like Moses, David, Joshua. Jesus handpicked 12 humans and trained them over a period of 3 years to become and to operate on earth exactly like Him. Would you agree with that from the scriptures?
Yes.
As a ministry gift, I'm a teacher. I want to look you in the eye when I tell you this, because the Lord in the last few weeks has said to me, I expect my ministry gifts to train people the same way I trained the 12, the same way I trained the 70, and to get the same results that I got when I trained Peter. Peter trained Stephen, and Stephen was operating at the same level that Peter was operating at, which was the same level that Jesus was operating at as a human on the planet. The church needs to arise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I win. My battles have been won. I win before they begun. I win if God be for me. What can stand against me? He has caused me to win. I win. My battles have been won. I win before they begun. I win if God stands with me. What can stand against me? He has caused me to win. Someone here, you feel like you're not winning, you're winning. Anyone here battling cancer? Can I see your hand? Anyone here? You might not have cancer. Anyone here battling cancer? Tumor? Praise God, you're free. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you've said in this short time, and though it might seem like a long time to some, thank you, Father, for these moments in their life to say these words. Sometimes you need to hear words a certain way to wake up to how you should be operating. And this life is not a walk in the dark. It's a walk in the light. It's knowing what to do. It's knowing what to say. It's knowing when. It's knowing how. It's full assurance of faith because you have spoken to us ahead of time. And we know. Perceiving as fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. So, Father, bring us up in faith and cause this meeting, cause this time to raise the standard in men and women's life so that they can come to the place where they're not just receiving answers for themselves, they're receiving answers for many, many, many. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.